May we be reminded here of our highest aspirations and inspired to bring our gifts of love and service to the altar of humanity. May we know once again that we are not isolated beings, but connected in mystery and miracle to the universe, to this community, and to each other. Let us begin our sacred time together in song. We're going to take some time now to honor the quieter moments in life. You may take these first few moments to light candles of memory and hope, or just to sit quietly, remembering who you are and why you are here. Please join me in an attitude of prayer. In a world that is increasingly uncertain and distrustful, may we take comfort in one thing that we can be certain of, that our children grow up. Life never pauses and the generations mature. May our children build a better world and not shy away from leadership. We need you. May we rejoice in our children's departures rather than mourn them. When we love someone, we must set them free. As in the Gibran poem, you, the parents, are the bows from which your children as living arrows are sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite and bends you with might that the arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness. This morning, may we honor the child within the adult and the adult within the child. They already know so much. May life's challenges make use of this knowledge so that it may blossom into wisdom. The child within is always wise. May all of us be reminded of this. The child knows that the person functions best within a loving, sacred community. May the faith our children have grown up with continue to guide them, comfort them, and accept them just as they are. May they remember that the course of their lives is in their hands. May these young adults and teenagers be seen by the world and embraced. And may they stay forever young. And may all of us take their lead. Amen. This morning, we bear witness to and rejoice in two rites of passage for the youth of our church. The first will be the pinnacle of the Coming of Age program when 3 8th graders share their credo statements with us and cross the threshold from junior high to high school. The second rite of passage involves our high school seniors, some of whom have grown up entirely in this church, and will all begin their journeys of higher education in the fall. Why make a point of observing these rites of passage of our youth? So many people come to Unitarian Universalism as an adult after growing up in a different faith. Sometimes it's overlooked that there are, in fact, people who are lifers, who are UU their entire lives. Which, of course, means there are always junior highers and high schoolers lurking about in the church. The youth in a church, particularly the older youth, tend to not be as visible to the mainstream of the church. And so we want to make them visible to you today. We want you to see how growing up UU influences young lives and directs future paths. Most of all, we want to emphasize to our youth how proud of them we are and how we recognize that they represent the future of this movement. All of these young people have worked very hard. But graduating junior high and high school are not merely scholastic achievements. On a spiritual level, you are growing up. And that can be difficult too. You are crossing over from childhood to adulthood, and there is some loss in that. But such endings are also ecstatic beginnings. Without further ado, I would like to tell you a bit about the Coming of Age program. I am truly impressed that Emily, Coralie, and Patrick made time for this program in their very busy schedules. They attended 3 2-hour classes on Sunday mornings covering a variety of topics related to getting older, such as making difficult life choices, deciphering their most important values, and learning the ins and outs of liberal faith. They have each worked with a mentor, have done service projects in and outside the church, interviewed church leaders, and attended a UU church in another part of town. Their most important task has been to write these credos, which I am sure you will enjoy hearing.
Good morning. My name is Janice Samuelson. I've had the privilege of mentoring Emily Withers for her coming of age. This has given me an opportunity to get to know some of the youth of our church. Emily has a mind of her own, not unlike most of her peers, but what separates Emily is her solid beliefs, her courage to question, her commitment to family, friends, and her church community. She has unbounding energy and enthusiasm for taking risks and confidence that is unyielding. Emily loves to sing, play kickball. I think you get the point. Emily is a great example of the future of this church. In fact, I think she will be able to take over the Seder in a few years. Emily is definitely her own person. It has been an honor to be a part of her coming age program. Thank you, Emily. I would like to introduce Emily Withers.
Hello. I've been going to this church for 4 years, and from time to time, I have to try to explain what UUism is and why I keep coming. And I can't really explain it. It's one of those things that's harder to explain than it is to just believe. So I kept thinking about it. And the reason I like this church is because I always feel welcome, and the people around me don't force feed information. Like when I ran into the problem of what I believe in, people told me to look at different religions and figure out what feels right to me. That's what I think this church is about. You get other people to think for themselves and then accept their conclusion. Now, what do I believe? I started looking around my school, found that most people are one extreme or another, and are set in their ways. So I started thinking about the concept of one God who's almighty and powerful. I didn't really like that concept. It didn't appeal or make sense. So sometime last year, I had this idea of not many gods, but entities. One of fire, earth, water, and air. I found that this concept makes sense to me because I've always thought of nature's elements as a driving point in my life. Then I started thinking about fate. I don't like the idea of having a predestined or set path in life. So I came up with the idea that everyone you meet or see affects a change or response in you. And it's like you always have an opinion about someone you see in the street or someone you meet. And that opinion changes a little part of you sooner or later. And since this idea about your change by means of people or animals, you see, I formulated that there is an entity of change in everyone. So far I have that there's entities of fire, water, earth, air, and change. Then I started thinking about what happens after death. I know that people will always live on in the form of memories, but where will their spirit go? I don't believe in the concept of heaven or hell because I think it's something that people use to scare others. But I don't want to deny heaven to someone who works their whole life for it. So then I thought, I may not believe in the same form of the afterlife as another person, but their thoughts could still be right. So from there, I thought about the afterlife being created when you're alive. I mean to say that if you believe or strive to have something happen after death, that's what will happen to you. There are many cool aspects of life, but death isn't one of them. Think about it. If people never died, there'd be no point in living. In the book Tech Everlasting, Natalie Babbitt wrote, "What is to be feared is not death, but the life unlived." A life unlived would be a life where all you do is shy away from things because you're afraid. If you cherish every second on this earth, then you will be living life to its fullest. Through this experience, I also found out a very important fact. Your beliefs are allowed to change with you and grow. I will always remember to cherish life and my personal beliefs or thoughts. And one other thing. I'd like to thank Hannah, Carrie, Janice, and most of all my parents for helping me. Thank you.
My name is Donna Howard, and I was the lucky person to get to be the mentor of this young woman standing next to me. This is Coralie Trigger. And Coralie takes the word multitasking to new heights that I cannot even imagine. When I asked her what she did to relax or what she would do if she was going to relax, she said she'd probably be thinking about, what can I be doing? If you look in your order of service and you see the activity she's involved in, it really is mind-blowing what these young people do. Coralie has a lot to say. I was very fortunate to hear at least some of what she has to say. And she's a lifelong UU, been in our church about the past 5 years. I think she's going to have a lot to say to the rest of us. And first UU had better be listening and watching out for Miss Coralie Trigger.
Okay, I wrote my creative statement in the form of a poem. Okay. It's called My Beliefs. Whether you are Christian or Mormon, Muslim or Jew, you're forced to believe or told to believe just as they say. If someone tells you that you're making no sense, you reply, well, at least I know what I believe. You're just a UU, and anyway, that's what the Bible says. But is it really better to believe in no meaning? The Bible and Torah, they all make no sense. They contradict each other in every way. In story and language, content as well. They all say that they're right, but who's to tell? And as for me, they all sound swell. Being UU, I can tell that people are stubborn, loyal, and proud. I believe in teachers and healers and family and friends and grandma's cookies until the end. I believe in miracles and the power of love, RE and service, and those are just some of the magical things in which I believe.
This is Patrick McPhee. My name is Drew Bridges. I've had the pleasure of being his mentor. I kind of regret that the program didn't last longer. In our brief conversations I've had with Patrick, he's very much impressed me as being a very bright, articulate young man, involved in a lot of activities, someone with whom his parents can be quite proud. Patrick McPhee.
Okay, I found writing and finding out what I believe to be rather difficult, and then after procrastinating for a few weeks, I finally sat down and thought, and I learned some new things about myself, and in the end, have developed the following conclusions about my beliefs. To start off, I think there's a God and is both good and evil. I find that God brings both happiness and suffering, all in order to keep a good balance. It created this world as well as others, but I also believe that all these worlds, as well as their creator, have flaws. I think there are heaven and hell sort of places, maybe even more than those two. I'm not quite sure about the exact creation story, but I think God making it all seems pretty right. I think everything in this world is sacred to some extent, and everything has a purpose, if not many. All those purposes must be discovered over time, and I think there is an endless supply of them. I believe joy and happiness are always around, and just have to be picked up and dropped off as you go along. When it takes a form, I think joy becomes laughing, singing, smiling faces, or just an overall satisfied feeling. I think love has been on the earth since the beginning of time, has multiplied, spread, been traded, and released since then. Comes from God's love to us, just as suffering comes from God's little bits of disappointment. Truth, though sometimes hard to find, is always there. You can tell if something is true just by a feeling you sort of have. It feels right, comfortable, and just has a good feeling to it. What you have been taught also, and what you have picked up also affect what you see in life that is true. When something dies, its spirit leaves the earth and moves on to some other world or dimension. Part of it never dies and lives on through the many of through the memory of people of it. I think a person's personality, even though as they change in appearance or their values and interests change, their inner personality and spirit remain. I will close by saying that life is a mystery and must be lived through to be solved. That doesn't mean we all have to search forever for clues to the answer. It just means that life should be lived fully. I think that if all else fails, look at what you have and keep being happy, because no one is a true failure.
I want to briefly describe what you're going to be seeing in the bridging ceremony. The walk to the center of the stage here represents the journey already taken in junior high. The candle they light at the threshold honors the rite of passage from one phase of life to another. Then, a member of YRUU, Young Religious Unitarian Universalists, the high school group, will welcome them on the other side. And now, three current members of YRUU, who are juniors, have the chance to verbally welcome them.
Hi, I'm Beth, this is Steven, and this is Lauren, and we're current members of YRUU. So, you've managed to make it this far. Birth, elementary school, and middle school, or homeschool, have all shown you their secrets. Don't worry, if you lost those gems too quickly, because the ones yet to come are just as precious. As unominous as possible, I present to you the world of high school, adolescence, and YRUU.
You'll do fine, with such a supportive community to catch you when you fall, hug you when you cry, and tickle you to keep you laughing. You can count on us to play and ponder with you while we procrastinate growing up. Just remember that in this delightful distraction from both childhood and adulthood, you will be continually growing wiser and stronger.
YRUU and the UU community will not only comfort you, but will push you to your fullest mental and spiritual potential. We will subtly install shots of knowledge into your every experience and cover them with band-aids of fun. YRUU will remind you to think, grow, respect, love, and lead in our world.
Emily
Patrick, and Coralie, we welcome you to the rest of your wonderful lives.
Now we're going to hear from a couple of the seniors. We have 7 seniors total with us today, and if you look in your order of service toward the middle, you will find some very interesting mini-bios of each of them. We don't have time for everyone to speak, but 2 of them, Ian and Will, have been a part of this church for a long time and wish to share some reflections.
Tall, I don't need that anymore. I myself actually haven't been a part of this church for a very long time. I first came to this church in May of 2001, not as in connection to Unitarian Universalism or anything, just because that's where my best friend Ian was having his birthday party at the youth group. And they seemed like a cool group of people, so I kept coming. And, you know, first I just came to the youth group. Ian's mom or my mom would drop us off in the back of the church, go in the door by the RE hall, and take a quick right into room 13 so we wouldn't have to see any of the rest of the church. And this went on for a while. I came to be pretty good friends with the people in the youth group. You know, some people would graduate and bridge like we're doing now. Other people would come in. And then bit by bit, I started to get more involved with the church as a whole. I think, actually, the first time I saw this part of the church was when we had our rally here, and youth from here and all over the district took over the church for a weekend. And then, you know, I would start doing other things. I would start, like, helping out, making a lunch for something in something like the all-congregational meeting. Carrie and I used to have a running joke that the only reason I would ever do anything besides go to youth group was to get NHS hours for volunteering. And then I started doing more things. I started participating more in sitting out in the gallery, advertising things, less and less for NHS hours, and more because I felt I wanted to do something for YRUU. And I started getting involved in more things. I was on the youth programming committee for a while. Last November, I became a member of the events team and have made your coffee pretty much every Sunday since. Last fall, I joined the Board of Trustees as the youth trustee and have met with them every month to determine what we're going to do. And so bit by bit, I've felt more a part of this church community and more like, this is my place. And somewhere along the way, I'm not sure when, I started referring to this place as my church instead of the place I go for youth group. And let me explain this, because I'm sure many of you have called this place my church since the very first time you came. I'm not a Unitarian Universalist. Like I said, I came because I like the people. And so I wanted to make sure that it was understood that I was not a Unitarian Universalist. And so whenever I tell my friends about youth group and refer to First Church, I'd call it like the place, First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin, or when that got too long, FUCA. Or when they always asked, what does that stand for? And then I had to say it again, the place where my youth group is. But I've begun to really feel as though I'm a member of a part of this community through doing all of these things, through meeting so many people in this congregation. And so when I look, and so I'm a senior now, and I'm moving on. I'm about to graduate from high school, and I see everything winding down. Last night, the Liberal Arts and Science Academy had its senior recognition banquet. The day before that, the youth group had had a lock in to do, among other things, elect the people that will replace me. Our math team's having our end of year banquet on Monday. Debate team the next Monday, and so everything that I'm a part of and have dedicated my time and have gotten so much out of is winding down. And so I've started to look back and think, when I go off to Grinnell, which is where I'm going for college, what are the places and what are the things that I'll really miss about Austin and about being in high school? And I think of some of my friends' cars that, for fun, we just cruise around Austin in and have done that many, many nights at a large cost of gas and have stopped doing recently because gas is so much. I'll think about some of the classrooms in high school, especially like the debate classroom where I've spent so much of my time. And I'll think about this church because I really feel that this church is part of my life, and I've gotten so much out of my involvement in this church and so much out of knowing each of you that I do know, because I don't actually know all of you. And if you read my biography, you'll see that I actually became a member of this church in December. It was actually right after the congregational meeting then. I figured, why not? And so I'm a member of this church, and I'm about to go off to college, and the amount that I come to this church will probably go down a lot, maybe a Sunday or two every time I come back. But I think I'm going to try and remain a member of this church because this church does mean so much to me, and because I feel like I'm so much a part of this community.
I, unlike Will, have been a member of this church since I can remember things, and that's a long time. So, you know, when I say that YRU is my life, or has been for the past 4 years, I'm not lying. I've had the joy of growing up all the way in this church, and have been here almost every Sunday since I moved here 16 years ago. The past 4 years especially, I've learned more about myself and who I want to be than I ever could have imagined, thanks to YRU and our wonderful church. First of all, I would like to thank this congregation for allowing me to meet everyone I've met here, to meet all the truly and the incredible and truly unique people I've encountered at YRU and this church. Most of my close circle of friends today come either from this church or have been helped by it, him included. I have met people of every religion conceivable and almost every kind of religious service this city has to offer. I had my first I Ching reading in this youth group, in the youth group room, and my first real chalice lighting, and found a group of people who always respected me for who I am. And at this church, I really did find a second home. And it's been a real great home for me since then. I have, over the years, found countless people all over the Southwest District I am proud to call friends. It was here I met the first adults who really treated me as equals, giving me advice when needed, but letting me take my first steps to individualism. I was able, thanks to their confidence, take charge and become a leader for the first time in my life. I've always been a really timid person, as most of you guys can probably testify to, know me. But YRU really did let me discover who I am and gave me the confidence to strive for that. Don't get me wrong, the youth group has much more to offer than just a great home on Sunday nights. Thanks to YRU, I've been able to give 3 full sermons, regular chalice lightings, and more guided meditations and smaller religious services than I can count. I have learned more about my own spirituality through this group than anywhere else, and I've had the joy to share in others. Most importantly, YRU allowed me to discover what I really truly love doing and gave me countless hours of practice in it. From the second I stepped up on this pulpit freshman year, right now, giving this speech, I felt and embraced this work, being able to share my thoughts and beliefs with this congregation, and I have taken that as my calling. As many of you probably read in my bio, I am proud to announce this fall I will be attending Texas Christian University in Fort Worth to study religion and will hopefully go on to graduate school to become a Unitarian Universalist minister. Yes, YRU and this church are my life. I'm the grandson of a UU minister and have been UU for the entirety of my life. Because of this, because of every memory I have from almost every room in this building, I have never regretted a second I've spent here. This church has given me many great friends, many of which I am proud to call family. This church has given me the strength to follow my own path. This church has shown me my calling and has allowed me to get up here and share my spirituality with all of you. More times than I could have ever expected. But most importantly, YRU has made the last 4 years of my life the best years I've ever experienced. Thank you all.
Before we do the bridging ceremony from high school to college, I want to say a few words to the parents of these fine youth. This ceremony is as much for you as it is for them. When you see your son or daughter graduate from high school, there's a lot that goes unsaid. There is a bit of a goodbye involved, and you have to trust them from now on that many good decisions will be made without you. When the seniors go to the center for this ritual, they go unaccompanied to symbolize that already, in many significant ways, they are on their own. When your child turns 18, that is a rite of passage for you too, the parents. Congratulations on a job well done. So let's do this thing. Will the seniors please come up for their bridging ceremony? They will be met in the center by members of YARN, which stands for Young Adult Religious Network, not to be mistaken with the Voyagers of this church, which stands for Very Old Young Adult Group. But we're all young adults, a diverse group from which I hope you will find a home. And instead of forgoing a religious community while you're in college, I do hope you come find us. Daniel Austin Salinas. Ian Brooks Reed. Zach Petticord. Kate Ann Mortar. Shane Howard. Lucy Isabel Edwards. Nelson Boney.